And it says in verse 15, the angels go back into heaven, and the shepherds said one to another, let us go even unto Bethlehem and see the thing that has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And that's why it was so beautiful that I told you this morning, here is a visitation from God on the birthday of his son. And this is the announcement that the angel made from heaven that God's son is born. And they said, let us go see this thing. So here they are, having it announced as soon as Christ is born, and that is profound, that earthlings knew nothing. At the moment that the Son of God is born and comes into the world, God sends his angel and says, go tell the shepherds that my son is born. And when he does, there is a little difference in the message that is given to them and the message that is given to us. We are told to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. When the message is given to these shepherds, they are not told to go, but they are simply told about that child that is going to be born and told what they are to look for, but they are never told, now go and seek him out. It just says, you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And then the scene is filled with myriads of angels, and they say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And after that brief outburst of praise, it says, they go back into heaven. So here is a special visitation from God on the birthday of his son. One angel announces it, and then myriads of angels come, and they celebrate the birthday of God's Son. So, look at verse 15. When these angels go back into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing that is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they go, and they see, and then verse 20, because this is what I began to tell you this morning. The ascription of praise. It starts with the angels. And now, in verse 20, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God. It started with the shepherds. It expanded. It started with the angels. It expanded to the shepherds. And now, it has come down to us. And this morning, some of us were here, and we were praising and glorifying God for the birth of his son, the Lord Jesus. All right, here are the shepherds. I want you to see now about the ideal shepherds. If you think for a moment, I'm just going to tell you about some of the shepherds in the Old Testament, and I want you to see in the New Testament that the Savior is the ideal in so many areas, as I've already told you. When it comes to a shepherd, there are good shepherds and bad shepherds, and it was that ideal shepherd, the Lord Jesus. There are the Old Testament lambs that had to be physically without spot and blemish, and then there is the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And now, let us see that I am not going amiss when I tell you that Christ is a shepherd, and he's prophesied in the Old Testament. Turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26 now, because I want us to be on bedrock when I'm telling you that Christ is the shepherd. You say, well, how can that be? You said he was the lamb. What is so remarkable about Old Testament typology is this. When you look at the tabernacle, Christ is the tabernacle. You look at the high priest. Christ is the high priest. You look at the lamb. Christ is the lamb. He is all of those things. He's not one, but he's all of those things. And you can look at him from various angles. And so now, look at chapter 26 And verse 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, All you shall be offended in me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. The Savior says, I am the shepherd, and you are the sheep, and this is what has to happen to me. Now, we're going to have another word of prayer, and then I will read some more and tell you about Christ, the shepherd of the sheep. Our Father, we are glad that you work in the life of each one of us individually. We are glad to hear how that you have sustained Mike, and the best thing is that he's trusted Christ as Savior. But now, Father, he has received an education, and just as whatsoever he does, in word or in deed, he's to do all to the glory of God. And so we pray that Mike now, with what he has learned, shall use it to, as it says in the Bible, to provide, and then for himself and others, and then, Father, use him in his life as your child. And we pray, Father, that thou shalt teach us from the scriptures as well in our lives what our relationship is to the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd. We are thankful that you looked upon the shepherd and you smote him, and all that happened to us is that we were scattered. But we are thankful that the shepherd of the sheep has been smitten, and because of that smitten shepherd, you can extend the offer of salvation to all men. So help us this night to see a little bit about Christ as the shepherd in our lives. Christ, your shepherd, Father, and let us love him more and appreciate what he is as you set him forth in the word of God. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. A series could be given on Christ the shepherd for this reason. You find it in the Old Testament in these passages that specifically refer to him. I read you from Zechariah concerning Christ as the shepherd. There, he is the smitten shepherd. You'll find in Psalm 80, he is spoken of as the shepherd of Israel. And you'll find in Isaiah chapter 4 that he is that shepherd that is beautiful and ideal, that takes the lambs in his arms and carries the young lambs in his bosom. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the New Testament, you find the Savior as a shepherd over and over again. I read it to you in Matthew, but this is what it says also in Matthew. On an occasion, he looked and he saw Israel scattered as sheep not having a shepherd. And he had compassion on them because he wanted to be their shepherd. And in Luke chapter 15, who do you think that shepherd is that goes and finds that lost sheep? You say, well, it would have to be Christ, yes. But I'm not going to rely upon that alone. I've already shown you that in the Old Testament he's called a shepherd. He himself says that I am the shepherd that's going to be smitten, but there are other responsibilities of the shepherds as well. And we have been looking at Christ as shepherd on Saturday morning, and I told the men that there in Hebrews 13, he is spoken of as the shepherd, but he's also spoken of in John 10 as the shepherd, and he's also spoken of in 1 Peter 5 as the shepherd. You say, well, he's the shepherd. Yes. But what happens is that in these three passages, he is given designation, a specific designation telling what kind of shepherd he is. As in Luke 15, we see that he is the seeking shepherd. One sheep is lost, and he seeks that sheep until he finds it. So there he's the seeking shepherd. That's evident from the facts that are given. But in John chapter 10 and in Hebrews 13 and in 1 Peter 5, you do not have to even figure out the designation of the shepherd. This is what it says in John 10. The shepherd is called the good shepherd. And the Savior said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now, nothing could be plainer. But he adds this. He says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life for the sheep. So there is something lovable about Christ as the eternal Son of God, but there was something also lovable in the Lord Jesus Christ in his humanity, because only when Christ became man could there be any speech about his dying. It says in Hebrews chapter 2, that for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, Christ also partook of the same, that through death he might destroy Satan, who had the power of death. Do you see? He had to partake of flesh and blood that he might die. There was no such thing as God dying. The absurd words that went around some years ago, God is dead. That's the thought of man. He is the living God. And the Lord Jesus calls himself the living God. You don't realize it. This is what he says in Revelation chapter 1. When John saw him, he fell at his feet as one dead. And he laid his right hand upon him and he said, fear not. He said, I am the first and the last and the living one. And that living one means the living God of the Old Testament. So the living one is he who became man that he might die, and he's been raised from the dead. And that is why I was explaining these designations of Christ, the threefold designations of Christ, as the shepherd. They have to be taken in a logical order, and John 10 is the first. Why? Because he says the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Therefore, Christ is still alive. He's on earth. He has not as yet died for sins. And that's why John 10 comes first. Then Hebrews 13 comes next. It says, now, the God of peace, who brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep with the blood of the everlasting covenant. Now, we had Christ who was going to lay down his life for the sheep in John 10. In Hebrews 13, we have Christ who laid down his life for the sheep, and he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. And having been raised from the dead, in connection with that living Savior, there is the blood of the everlasting covenant. That's the next step. And in 1 Peter 5, it says this, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive. And then he said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. And then the chief shepherd comes, and he looks over the underlings, the other shepherds that are under him. You say, well, that has to be the order. Of course it does. The Savior who is on earth, who is to die, the Savior who died and is raised from the dead, and now this covenant that is in his own precious blood, he effects that covenant and he maintains that covenant because he is the great shepherd of the sheep. And then it says in 1 Peter chapter 5 that someday we who are underlings, we who are shepherds in a lesser sense, are being watched by the chief shepherd, and when he comes back, then he's going to dispense his rewards. And so the Lord Jesus is the shepherd. What shepherd? Why, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. And having told you of Christ as a shepherd, and there is an interesting reference, and had it come out of the tribe of Judah, I would have specifically spoken of it. But it says in Genesis 49 that a shepherd is coming upon the scene. But then there is another reference of Christ in the Old Testament about being the shepherd. Because when he speaks of himself in Isaiah chapter 40 as the shepherd who takes the young lambs, carries the young lambs in his bosom, gently leads those that are with young, you say, that is Christ also, yes. And so in the first book of the Bible, throughout the Old Testament, and in the last book of the Bible, Christ is spoken of as the shepherd. The last book, yes, and we must look at that. Turn to Revelation chapter 7, because this is what is an example of the fullness of Christ. Listen how odd it is, because it says in Revelation chapter 7, verse 14, these are they that come out of the great tribulation, and they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in the temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall spread his tabernacle over them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun strike upon them, nor any heat. For the Lamb that is in the midst of the throne shall be their shepherd. Now here, he's a lamb. You say, well, he is part of the flock. But it says, the Lamb shall be their shepherd. I told you that in the Old Testament, he is the high priest, he is the tabernacle, and he is the sacrifice as well. And here, the Lamb is the shepherd, and listen to this. This is what is so beautiful. Verse 17. The Lamb that is in the midst of the throne shall be their shepherd, and shall lead them, guide them unto fountains of waters of life, and God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. Who is the shepherd? And he leads them to water. You say, well, I remember something in the Old Testament that says, the Lord is my shepherd, and he maketh me to lie down beside still waters. So what happens is this, that all of those references that are in the Old Testament about the shepherd, when you have Psalm 80 as well as Psalm 43, you say, well, that shepherd turns out to be embodied in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why, of course it is. And that is why when God was making an announcement on the birthday of his son, whereas man would have rejected as unfit shepherds to be those who received the message and spread it at the very day of the birth of Christ, God says, there is no group of people more beautiful, more appreciated by me than the shepherds. Why? Because throughout the Old Testament, you have either shepherds and you have good shepherds. And when you have that good shepherd, that is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you have the evil shepherd, those are the shepherds that are spoken of in John chapter 10. Because you have two kinds of shepherds there. He speaks of the shepherds that are like hirelings. They are doing their work for what they get. And it is like the police that were guarded to protect an individual that was sick in the hospital, and when they were supposed to protect that individual that was sick with AIDS, when they saw that the one could spread the AIDS to them, they fled. And the nurse had to come in, and this patient that was delirious somehow scratched the nurse and took the needle that was in him that had AIDS and injected it in the nurse, and she died. And so here is a worthless man that was hired to protect, but when he saw there was any danger, he fled. And that is brought out in John chapter 10 about hirelings. They are paid to take care of the sheep. The only reason they take care of the sheep is that they are paid. If they receive no pay, they would not take care of the sheep. It's just like some preachers today. They only preach if they're only paid. And the sheep that they take care of are the sheep that give them the greatest remuneration. And the Lord Jesus speaks of them. He says, the hireling sees the wolf coming, and he flees, because he careth not for the sheep, but he is an hireling. What does it mean? It means by nature, in his heart, he behaves the way he does outwardly, because that's what he is inwardly. And then, having spoken of these despicable examples of evil and hireling shepherds, the Lord Jesus says this, and only he could do such a thing. He says, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. And he says, my Father loves me for that very thing. Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, suppose I said, God loves me because I'm willing to lay down my life for you. God, it would be reprehensible. But the Lord Jesus can speak about evil shepherds and then tell you, I am the good shepherd, and my Father loves me because I'm the good shepherd, and I'm prepared to pay the extreme price to make the greatest sacrifice, because greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And the Lord Jesus said, I'm going to lay down my life for you. And the hardest thing is this. Had the Lord Jesus only had to experience death at the hand of men, he would not have sweat, as it were, great drops of blood in the garden. But what happened there was Christ saying, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass away from me. Because it says in Zechariah and in Matthew that I will smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. Because the thing that fills the soul of Christ with horror was the thought of his Father being the one who smote him with the sword. And the Lord Jesus knew that. His being smitten, it is seen in type in Zechariah, and it is seen in type in the book of Exodus, because Moses is told to bring water out of the rock. God says, I will be on that rock, and you take a rod and smite. And he said, and water will come out of that rock. You say, the smitten God upon the rock, and water comes out in abundance. Yes. And the Lord Jesus said, smite the shepherd. And that is a picture of it there. And in Isaiah 53, it is not a picture, but a description. It says that God hath caused to light on him the iniquity of us all. And so here is the way that the Lord Jesus Christ is set before us. He is the one that God loves. And notice, he loves him now not as the eternal Son, but as God manifests in the flesh. Why? He said, because I lay down my life for the sheep. God looks down upon earth and he sees selfish individuals that flee from danger, that are in the world to grasp. And he sees the Lord Jesus Christ as he who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. And the Prince of Life was quite willing to lay down his life. He is the only one who had power to lay his life down and to take it again. And when Pilate would have threatened him, when the Savior was not talking to him, he said, do you not understand that I have power to crucify thee and I have power to release you? And the Lord Jesus said, you would have no power against me at all, except it were given thee from above. There was no one who took Christ's life from him. He said, I laid it down. And he said, I will take it up again. And he says, my Father loves me for that. You and I, when it comes time to die, there is nothing that you can do about it. But the Lord Jesus was one who told his Father when he was to die. When the Savior knew that everything had been finished, he said, it is finished. And he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. The only man who has ever died that way. When God says to you, it's time for you to come back. The God who gave the Spirit recalls the Spirit. There is nothing that you can do. But the Lord Jesus said, Father, this is the time that I am to die. And the Father loved him for that. The only one who had power to retain his life, and he willingly laid it down. And you and I, it is appointed unto us once to die, and after that the judgment. But thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. It was appointed unto him once to die, to bear the judgment. But not after that any more judgment. the glorious enthroning at God's right hand, and then the returning to sit upon the throne of his father David, and he shall reign forever and ever. It says, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And so this is our shepherd, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, and the chief shepherd is coming again to reward those lesser shepherds. Let us be found faithful when he comes. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful for all the pictures of tenderness and beauty and goodness that you set forth in the Scriptures. Father, they are pictures of tenderness and pity because we are sheep that have no shepherd. We are weak and lost and go astray. And the Lord Jesus is the one who loves us, who left heaven, came to earth to find us. Everything that is good, Father, is found in him. And all that is evil is found in us. And thou hast told us that him who knew no sin, you made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just, for us the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And we are thankful that he has gloriously completed the work that is necessary to save sinful men. And now it's our portion, having received him as Savior, to serve him and to wait for his Son, God's Son, from heaven. Come, Lord Jesus, we pray, in thy dear name. Amen.